Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Eileen, now returning to the breaking story this afternoon of the Zappone affair. We have been parsing through the 111 exchanges relating to Catherine Zappone's appointment released this afternoon by the Department of Foreign Affairs. The records show that Catherine Zappone thanked Minister Simon Coveney for the special envoy role before officials discussed the job. I'm joined now by James Lawless. He's a Fianna Fáil TD in Kildare North and chair of the EDFDS Joint Committee on Justice. James Lawless, you're very welcome to Drive Time.
Good evening, Cormac. How are you?
What do you make of what you've been hearing so far in relation to the Fine Gael justification of the various allegations in relation to this appointment?
Well, no more than yourself. I've been trying to make sense of the data dump over the last 90 minutes or so since it went online, trying to pick a pattern through it. Unfortunately, there are a number of inconsistencies emerging already, and obviously we'll get into this at the committee hearing tomorrow morning. We had Minister Coveney in last week, and I find it somewhat ironic when I hear ministers protesting that they can't wait to give further clarifications on these issues. I think really that's a paradox. I think if they gave clarifications the first time, they wouldn't be looking forward, in their own words, to giving further clarification.
So where do you see the inconsistencies at this point, James?
Well, I suppose the obvious one is the fact that it appears that Catherine Zappone was thanking the minister profusely, I think it was in March, for an appointment that allegedly wasn't made by Cabinet until July. But there's all kinds of nuggets. I mean, just from a quick review of the papers, one of the things that jumps out to me, just in front of me here, there's one email from 29th of March, where the department seems to have done a review of the role of envoys internationally in best practice. And just for example, one finding is that across EU member states, they adopted what's called an ambassador-at-large approach, who do this kind of work. The only ones really that do this special envoy system is the United States. So that's just one nugget. But that perpetuates the idea that Catherine Zappone came up with the idea, put it to the government, and obviously the Fine Gael side of the government, be it Pascal, be it Simon Coveney, be it later on Leo Varadkar. But all through the documentation, there's a thread spinning that it looks like Catherine Zappone came up with this idea. She was obviously lobbying intensely for some job, a job, or an introduction.
You believe there was lobbying, do you? Because
well,
that has
like
been
that
denied repeatedly by Minister Simon Coveney, among other Fine Gael ministers.
Well, I want her to Catherine Zappone register in the lobbying register, as she would be obliged to do under the Lobbying Act. Because if you seek preferment or position, or if you seek an advancement, and you do it through designated officials, which of course cabinet ministers would be, and she at this stage is a private citizen, she would have been obliged to put that in the lobbying register. So I'm not sure if anyone's gone around to check
but
that.
But do you think it would fall within the remit of what is described in the Lobbying Act?
Of course. I don't see how it couldn't. She's looking for preferment by the government. She's looking to be appointed to a paid job that's paid by the public purse. Another point that jumps out to me...
Sorry, that would be a serious allegation you're making then, because this is an ex-minister we're talking about. She would know the legal requirements there, as would the various ministers she would be lobbying.
Well, it's my opinion, from a quick review, to say the documents are live at 90 minutes, she appears to be seeking preferment. She's seeking appointment to a public job. And that, to me, seems to meet the definition of lobbying. By the way, lobbying is not a crime. I mean, lobbying in itself, per se, happens in every walk of life. It happens every day. Every public center gets lobbied. But if she is lobbying, she needs to record that fact, and it needs to go in the lobbying register.
So it needs to be transparent. Do you believe that there wasn't transparency here, then?
Well, I haven't had a chance to see it. Well, actually, on face value, no, there wasn't. Because she seems to have pitched this position, as I say, the job. All the documentation so far seems to suggest it was effectively tailored to her requirements. There's a later memo where she met Niall Burgess, even in July, quite close to the sign-off. And Niall Burgess appears to have a memo saying that further to his discussion with Catherine, he's either tidied up or refined or finalised the role description. Again, that's quite astonishing that she seems to be writing her own job specification.
And we spoke with Sarah spoke with Neil Richmond of Fine Gael in the programme just after five. I don't know if you heard...
Yes,
you did. So maybe listeners didn't hear that. He was talking about the thanking Catherine Zappone in a text correspondence. She thanked Simon Coveney, and she said, "Thanks so much for this incredible opportunity." Now, Neil Richmond denied that that was for a specific role. We might have a listen as to what he had to say, and then I'll get your opinion.
On March 4th, Catherine Zappone texted Simon Coveney and said, "Hi Simon, thank you so much for offering me this incredible opportunity.
And I think if it's really important to go back..."
Hold on a second. "It will be such a privilege and I will be so proud to serve Ireland again." You're telling me in that text message she's not accepting the offer of a role?
I am, and this is actually a line that's been taken by a number of people since the documents have gone through. But if you actually go through them in detail, and if you look at the testimony that was given to the committee last week, it was quite clear that Simon Coveney never specifically asked for a job and never talks about a job, and none was offered by anyone in this course. What Ms. Sapone said is quite clear as a reaction to, well, maybe this is something we could work on.
What do you make of that, James? No specific job here.
Well, certainly my perusal of the documents shows that she was looking for a position. She was also, the other thing that comes through is that she's very particular about dates, start dates, duration, contract. She's in another role and it's going to finish, I think, in June. Would this kick in immediately afterwards? Is it 1 year? Is it 2 year? What's the sign off? And I suppose it's somewhat ironic for a job we've been told for the last 5 weeks was a part-time, almost insignificant, very minor position. And yet she's so caught up with making sure she finishes off her previous obligations to free her up to do it. It seems that she was certainly taking it very seriously.
Finnegaler is saying that there's no specific role here, that there was perhaps a role in generality in this sphere of work. Do you believe that? Is that credible or is it fanciful in your opinion?
I think certainly Catherine Zapponi had a role in mind. To what degree Simon Coveney was on board with that at that stage, I don't know. There is a suggestion from her text, and I think a master, Geraldine Mason, was put in the very unedifying position of having to batter off the UN, saying, look, sorry, you know, trying to play for time. There's a suggestion that he went cold on her for a while.
There are questions as well raised as to the data released today. No text really from Simon Coveney, not many, or little or nothing at all here.
Well, apparently he deleted them all. This is what he told us last year. I mean, look, that's another question I'll be putting down tomorrow as well. Because one of the things that alarms me about this is I've often spoken about cybersecurity or our lack of it. And does the cabinet have an agreed approach? Do they have a preferred messaging app? Is it secure? Is it monitored? Is it, you know, if the minister's phone was hacked, as it has this year ago, was it actually a targeted hack to take down Simon Coveney's phone? Or was it a link that he clicked on accidentally?
That is your belief that all of the texts in relation to this, as far back as February or March of this year, were deleted? Because my impression was that the texts in relation to July were deleted around that period of time. You believe that all of the texts in relation to this have been deleted?
Well, no, I don't know, Cormac, and I suppose I'm being slightly facetious. I think it's a little bit incredulous that the minister deleted all the convenient texts. How far back he went with the deletions, I'm not quite sure. Does he do a weekly wipe down, or what does he do?
Isn't that the problem here, that you don't know if those texts were deleted or not?
Exactly. And that's why he's coming back to the committee for the second time in 7 days.
Can I ask you about the role of Minister Michael McGrath here? He's the Fianna Fáil Minister in charge of the Department of Public Expenditure. Now, the communications that have been published today show there were queries in relation to the remuneration for an ex-minister, as they put it. We now know it's Catherine Zapone. And whether this would affect the minister's pension and so on. Surely Minister Michael McGrath would have been aware of this, or he should have been aware of this, that there was new expenditure here for an ex-minister.
Well, again, I suppose I don't know. What I did notice, again, in the data dump that came online this afternoon, there's multiple administrative emails between, going back to when Catherine Zapponi was a minister, between the Department of Youth Affairs and the Department of Foreign Affairs, sort of almost gobbling about who picks up the tab for various flights she was on. And that goes back to a question, actually, that I raised last week at the committee, and I'll raise again tomorrow. We're talking about the appointment of an envoy in July 2021. But Catherine Zapone was also appointed as an envoy in autumn 2019. She was a minister. Why did she need an additional title? A title that the documentation tells us is a very American title. It's a practice in the US. Was she future-proofing herself? Was she looking down the track to say, well, I might be finished my ministry of career soon? The envoy title carries...
Catherine Zapone, she's not here to defend herself or give her side of the story. I should say that we did ask her for an interview. But you can make those suppositions, I suppose. But we won't know her side until she's here to give clarity on the thinking there. But just in relation to Minister Michael McGrath, do you think it would be helpful if he clarified his level of knowledge at this point?
Well, look, I'm sure all that will come out in due course, but I don't necessarily believe that the minister would have had sign-off on something at this level. I mean, if you look at the emails, the paper trail talks about, I suppose, staff talking about expense claims, etc., and it's between youth affairs and between foreign affairs going to and fro. Perhaps it was put to his department that an envoy role was being approved. I again, I don't know, so I'm not going to speculate.
But would you expect him to clarify if he knew or not?
Well, I think when it came to Cabinet and the Taoiseach expressed surprise, I think that probably represents the position of the Fianna Fáil ministers. We know that the Fine Gael ministers had their pre-meeting. Mm-hmm. It appears now that at least three of the five Fine Gael cabinet ministers currently sitting in cabinet were well aware of it. We also
the question here, James, for Fianna Fáil is what level of ignorance is tolerable by Fianna Fáil in this and by the Taoiseach Micheál Martin? Is it that just before cabinet that they know that that level of ignorance is tolerable, or can Fianna Fáil tolerate being in the dark for nearly 5 months?
Well, frankly, I don't think it's good enough. I think that's very clear, and I think that's a pretty non-controversial position to take. In the normal course of government, memos would be brought to government by each minister from each department on multiple issues, and very often there would be a pre-chat, I think maybe about a week out, depending on the level of sensitivity of the position.
So if this it's not good enough, what should happen?
Well, the Taoiseach has to lay down a marker, and I'm sure he is doing that. I think both Radcliffe and Cohen have apologised to him, is my understanding. Actually, I'm not quite sure what the tone is that stands of that, but I know Minister Coveney, when I put this to him last week, he did say he'd apologised to the Taoiseach, and he apologised to us, the committee, and he also said he would be bringing forward to the committee protocols, perhaps, to work through if there's a follow-up appointment.
And he's willing to apologise again based on the statement this afternoon. But what does lay down a marker mean?
Well, I think the Taoiseach has, if a coalition government is to work, it has to be a sum of the parts. And having a half or a third or whatever it is now, with three parties in coalition, having the Fine Gael ministers planning and working amongst themselves to appoint, effectively with a friend or former colleague, to be kinder perhaps, to a role, but whatever other business they're doing, they're having personally, I don't like the idea of these pre-cabinet meetings by political party. I think it's an historical thing, but I don't think it's good practice. So the Fine Gael ministers have their meeting.
Yeah, but hang on, let's get clarity. When you say that the Taoiseach has to lay down a marker, if Simon Coveney, do you think he should resign, first of all? And if he doesn't resign, what do you think the Taoiseach should do? Should he be sacked?
Well, let's see what happens tomorrow. I think maybe it's a little premature at this stage. But
what are you expecting tomorrow?
Well, I'm expecting him to give a very good account of himself, a better account than he gave last week. I mean, last week he contradicted himself. I think the attitude from the Minister of Foreign Affairs from the start of this has been a degree of arrogance. And there's been a degree of, look, I have nothing to explain here. He said to the committee last week, I didn't even have to ratify this at cabinet. You know, I can do what I want, kind of thing. And really, I think the minister has to come down from his high horse, apologise again to the committee. He's apologised to government, genuinely learn lessons and say, this is something, you know, this doesn't look good.
Hang on, James. My question to you is, how much ignorance does Fianna Fáil have to tolerate here? Because the narrative kept changing last week. Why texts were deleted, when the Taoiseach knew, when Fine Gael ministers knew. The position wasn't created for Catherine Zappone. That seems to have changed today. There was no lobbying. That seems to have changed based on the release of data this afternoon as well. Now we know from today's release that the Taoiseach was in the dark about this position, not just pre-cabinet, but for nearly 5 months.
Absolutely, and that, I suppose that makes it worse.
And is that acceptable?
I don't think so. No, it's not.
So what should the Taoiseach do?
Well, I suppose the Taoiseach will deal with his ministers in his own way, and that's something that will, I suppose, tomorrow's meeting will answer some of that, perhaps.
Are you and Fianna Fáil being taken for fools here?
Well, let's be clear, Cormac. The rest of the Fianna Fáil ministers are getting on with the job. Stephen Donnelly has delivered a vaccine programme, which is pretty much world-class. Dara Bryan is struggling vainly to deliver the Housing for All brief. Norma Foley is busy getting the schools back. Michael McGrath, who we've talked about, is putting together a budget package and huge supports for the COVID crisis and trying to support people through that. And obviously, Charlie McConlogue is busy dealing with cap talks and everything else. The Fianna Fáil ministers for the last 12 months are not mired in scandal. They're actually doing the job they're given to do. This is the Fianna Gael side of the house getting their hands dirty here. And I suppose in terms of a surprise coming to cabinet, there is no surprises clause in the agreement. This is, as far as I'm aware, the first time something like this has broken in cabinet since the coalition came together. So the doll has been in recess up until this week. The cabinet are back this week. The doll is back this week. The Taoiseach, I'm sure, will speak to his ministers. We'll await the outcome of tomorrow's meeting and we'll see where we go from there.
Okay, I think we have a clip of the Taoiseach, did we, in relation to all of this?
You know, I think in relation to the Zappone appointment, it is important, as the Taoiseach said, to put this in perspective. special envoys have been appointed for years. They're usually appointed directly, either by the Minister of Foreign Affairs or the Taoiseach. They've never been advertised in the past and didn't require cabinet approval. But I think this affair does require us, if you like, to review those procedures and make sure that we don't have the kind of internal communications failures that occurred happening again.
The texts that were published by yourself the other week, people are saying it only happened because there was a Freedom of Information request. Should you not have put this out earlier?
Well, it wouldn't be, you know, standard for ministers to publish text messages, or for anyone to do that. You know, it would generally be done on foot of a Freedom of Information request. And the reason why I did was it was raised specifically at a press conference, and that prompted me to go back and look and see what was there, and I published what I had.
And that is Taoiseach speaking this afternoon. Can I ask you, just in relation to the deletion of texts by Minister Simon Coveney, James Ullis, do you know, or has the Taoiseach tried to ascertain yet, if the texts were deleted by Simon Coveney after the Freedom of Information applications?
I don't know yet, but I hope we'll find that out of the committee. Again, that's a question I'll be asking at the committee tomorrow. The other point I would ask is, and quickly, this goes back to the lines between whether it's personal or political or government business, there's an assumption that texts aren't part of FOI because they're personal and they're meeting your friends or it's family or whatever else. In this case, it seems to be government business. Between the Piglet and the Merion and whatever else, you know, there's very blurred lines here. And I would have thought that a minister's experience as Minister Coveney would have known that, and knowing that 10 years into the cabinet, you keep your records of government business.
Okay, we'll see what happens tomorrow then. James Lawless of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed.